It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hope you're weathering the storm. We finally, winter has arrived. And just one note to the positive there. You know, that doesn't stop the grilling season. You just got to adapt. And we may talk a little bit about that today. But Barbecue Bob has got a new job, and he's doing some training for the next 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm fortunate enough to called on Tim Sobey of Sobey Meats to join us. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here. So Bob's still trainable, is he?
Well, you know what? There's some company out there that thinks so, but it's just the first week. So by 3 weeks, they'll know. They'll know for sure. No, but anyway, he's going to be gone for the next 2 or 3 weeks, and we're gonna play around a little bit without him. But we miss him, and he'll be back. So, but anyway, Tim Sobey, Sobey Meats. It wouldn't be appropriate to do anything other than this is going to be the meat show. And we're going to run up and down your meat case, some 70, 80 feet of it. I don't know. I've never measured it, but it's a long one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's full of just yummy, yummy stuff. So, but before I get started, I'll tell you that I wanted to thank you again for the prime rib that you prepared for my family. I ended up doing that on Christmas Day, which was wonderful. But you gave me a 10-pound prime rib. You took the bones off. You seasoned it with, I'm going to ask you what it was, because I think it was probably, what was it, your beef rub?
Tim's Blend.
Tim's Blend, yeah. You seasoned it very well, trussed the bones back on it, and then gave it to me ready to eat. I mean, that is like the quintessential butcher prep for a prime rib. Now, did you sell a bunch of those?
Oh, yeah. What we have probably between the standing prime rib and right. The boneless, probably about 60 cases,
wow.
70 cases.
And there's a dozen, 10 of them, 8 of them in a case? Five in a case, yeah.
Yeah. And you know that with the bone on like that standing prime rib,
yep.
As I always say, the bones act like an insulator,
right,
to help protect that ribeye,
yep.
So it's done more how you like it,
yeah,
and it holds it up off the pan, so you don't need a rack,
right.
The bones are the rack,
right,
and then you get the flavor from the bone that goes into the meat, and then you just cut the strings, the ribeye comes off, and you're ready to carve it. And then there's all that succulent goodness on the bone yet
to eat
when you're done.
Yeah, that was I cut those. I think I had a 5-bone is what I had, and I cut those, and there was a little fight over them,
yeah.
Because there were 6 of us there. And ironically, my wife is the first one to step up and take one. That is her favorite thing about a standing rib roast, is to be able to get that sweet meat right there that's near to the bone. So it's awesome. It's just really cool. Now, I would like to know how you cook one of those, and then I'll tell you how I did it, because I think there's multiple ways, but we may be doing it the same.
You know, and there's, as I would say, there's no wrong way to do it.
Right.
And that prime rib, I mean, it's such, and obviously overcooking it, so you can almost back over it with a truck or burn it before you're going to ruin it,
kind of
a thing. But ours really is a very simple method. And when you got the holidays, everybody's gathered around. So we've said many, many times, one of the most important tools you want to have is a good digital meat thermometer.
Absolutely.
Get it to the middle, and then we just put it in a 250-degree oven. Don't cover it. No water in a pan, nothing. Just put it on. Actually, you could even use a cookie sheet, because there's not that much drippings that comes off.
That's right.
Put it in that oven, and then we'll set the internal temp to like 100. I usually go to 120 degrees to start.
Right.
And then that's when that goes off. That's the warning. You better get the green beans, casserole, ready,
there
whatever
you
that
go,
is.
Yeah.
Last minute prep, because no disrespect, but the meat is the god of the meal. And
oh, yeah.
When the meat's
yeah.
ready, it's time to eat.
Start the show.
I don't care about the taters and the, right, the greeny yeah. beanies.
Well, and that stuff all holds in the oven, too. I mean,
yeah.
You can get it done half hour ahead of time. It'll be just as good.
Yeah.
Right? But the meat has to be done properly.
Yeah, and then an internal temp, if it's us guys,
Right.
We usually go at 125 degrees internal temp.
Right.
As we know, it's going to go up about 5 degrees, but for the gals, we'll go to 130.
Yeah.
And it comes out to me just perfect every time.
Yeah. So conversely, I did a reverse or a sear, a front end sear, and then put it on the smoker. So I lit my oven up to 450, set that in there on a rack with on a cookie sheet, just like you said, because all the marbling is in the meat. It's not, you know, you trim that a little bit of fat. There's a cap on it, and you want that, right? But you trim that down for us. So there isn't a lot of rendering that's going on this roast. But I was in there for about 30 minutes on 450 to just sear the outside of it to get a little bit of a crust on with your seasonings, right? And then I took it outside at 250 and put it on the big green egg smoker.
Okay.
And with that sear, I don't get a lot of smoke flavor, but it's frees up. I'm a one oven household, right? And when I've got lots of other dishes that need to go in my oven to get finished for the meal, there, you know, squash and potatoes and beans, like all the stuff that everybody has, I free up that space by using the big green egg. And if you don't have a Kamado smoker, they are basically a convection oven is all they are. I mean, you can regulate the temperature. 250 was my number two. Did exactly like you said. Made sure that probe was all the way to the middle of that, because that's where it's going to get hot the slowest.
Yeah,
and went to 125, just like you said.
Yeah.
I've got a couple daughter-in-laws, or one daughter-in-law, rather, that likes it more done. So when you do something like that, then you get the ends that are more done, and as you cut towards the center, you get to the medium-rare cut.
Yeah.
Turned out wonderful. But it was all in the prep, and that's why I wanted to give you, you know, kudos for that, because the seasoning was wonderful, and it did, you know, crisp up a little bit when I put it in that. So it's amazing. Just amazing.
And actually, and I'm going to take a step back. How I said is how I do it.
Yep.
We were over to our son's for Christmas Day, and he went out and lit up the grill, and then he put a sear on it, on the grill, then went to the oven with it. So it was fantastic. And that was one of our American Wagyu ribeyes off that local beef, and all that stuff, it's hard to beat it, I'll tell you what.
Oh, man, yeah. And it's trimmed so perfectly and just ready to go. And if you made the mistake and bought a big box prime rib for $10.99, maybe that was what was in your budget and good for you. But there's a difference. Just let me tell you, there's a difference in that Wagyu beef, and it's, you know, properly trimmed, properly seasoned, put back together with a... Man, it's, you know, yeah, it's Christmas, right? I mean, for me, I can't eat like that every day, right? But boy, on special occasions, it's so much fun just to have you guys pull together that perfect roast, and the look on people's faces when you pull that thing out and set it on the table, you know, it's just amazing.
All this talk about is making my mouth water, my stomach growl. I got to tell you, Zap, it's Christmas again.
Yeah, right. It can be. You know, there's all kinds of special occasions. Hey, you know what? Valentine's Day is coming up, but that's only a meal for two, maybe. But anyway, so how you been, man? You had a little health bout, and you came out of it. You look great. You feeling good?
Yeah, feeling good. So survived that. That was a close call. So,
right, yep.
If I was a cat, you know, I had a couple other ones I burned up through the years. I know I have two or three lives left now.
Yeah, right. Well, you're here, and that's the beautiful part about it. So I'm so glad that worked out, because we were all praying for you as you went through all of that. But so for the rest of the show, we're going to go up and down the meat counter. And I made some guesses on what's in there. I know there's beef. I know there's poultry. There's pork. You know, you've got your ground meats, and then of course the favorite end is all the smoked treats that are, you know, the sticks and the jerkies and all that other stuff. But I'm sure I missed some stuff along the way. So as we continue through the show, I just want to bounce around the meat counter a little bit, and I want to talk about maybe what part of the animal some of the beef comes from, why it's tender, why it might not be so tender, but what the value is in all of that. So if we can do that, I take this opportunity for our listeners to really dive into what the butcher knows. And because I didn't know all this stuff till I met you, and I still don't know it all, but that's why you're here. So
nice.
So we can talk of that. But you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're all over Jethro. We're on the interweb, and Bob's on X, so it's all good. But we appreciate you tuning in. Stick with us. We'll be back.